Would you open your Bible to Genesis chapter 22? Genesis chapter 22. If you're wondering what we're doing, this is the third time we are going through the entire Bible. We are in the Genesis chapter 22. And we will start. If you open up the globe, the world globe, from the dateline, and lay flat on the surface, which is a typical way to see the world map. Dateline is not straight up and down. It's the kind of zigzag. If you open it up, pretty much, I know some of you are going to say, it's not the center of the world. It's a little bit shifted. If you look at the real dateline, and it's the opposite side is Israel. In other words, Israel is located in the center of the world. And the center of the Israel is Jerusalem. In right center of the Jerusalem, Holy Temple, next slide, please. There you go. Holy Temple is located. And right in the Holy Temple, Holy of Holy, next slide, please. There, right smack in the middle of the Holy Temple, there is the Holy of Holy is located. Within the Holy of Holy, right in the center, the Ark of God, which represents Jesus Christ, is located. That is the same area which is known as Mount Moriah, where Abraham was about to sacrifice his beloved son Isaac in this chapter 22. Two very important things happened on that Mount Moriah. They both related to the sacrifice of their sons, one by human father, the other one divine God the Father. Interestingly, in chapter 21, we learned about the birth of Isaac, which is a foreshadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I even told you that the birth of Jesus Christ is Isaac was kind of representing what's going to happen. And in this chapter, we are going to see another similarity of their own sacrifice. Let's stop and pray. Father, it's amazing how you orchestrated the whole thing that even that Satan could not figure it out. You brought your only begotten son to this earth, child of a woman, yet fully God, fully man. Because of his divinity, he could take our sin. Because of his humanity, he could die for our sins. And went into grave and rose again from the dead. When he rose again from the dead, that signified the conqueror, the victory over sin and death. Because of that, we have this eternal life. Because of that, we can come to your throne boldly on account of your son's holiness and righteousness. We thank you. We magnify your holy name. Father, we pray that you speak to us this morning the truth and the principle and precept of your word. Speak to us in such a way that we may understand. Anoint our heart. Let your Holy Spirit's anointing be upon us. And let his anointing be upon the one who speaks, that he may only speak your word, not his own opinion. Father, we pray for the President Trump and all the politicians and judges in this country. They are in that place because you give them authority, not on their own. Father, we pray that they may do what is right in your sight instead of trying to go after their own power. Father, we pray for our troops and law enforcement personnel and firefighters, those who risk their lives to protect us and for our safety. Father, we pray that you protect them as they protect us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. By the way, you guys have about 4 or 5 hours today, right? It's going to be lengthy, so get used to it. Verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as burnt offering. I want you to underline the burnt offering, please. Burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Stop there, please. In the school of faith, we must have occasional tests, or we will never know where we are spiritually. This was not so much a test to produce faith, rather it's to reveal the faith to ourselves. You with me? God already knows what kinds of faith we have. He already knew what kinds of faith we have before the creation of the universe. It is for us to know. In this case, for Abraham to know. Please note that once Abraham heard the command of God to sacrifice his only son, the one whom he loved, if you notice, there's one thing not there. No resistance, no fighting, no argument, no negotiating. Just simply, he obeyed. What an example for us to follow. He simply followed. You know, does it mean that didn't he make a blunder in chapter 12 and chapter 20, going down to the Egypt and going to Abimelech and this lied that his wife is his sister? You remember the story, right? Yes, he learned the lesson. So he now have a complete trust in God. We need to learn to distinguish between the trials and temptation, folks. Temptation comes from our desire within us, but the trial comes from the Lord, who has a special purpose to fulfill. Temptation are used by the devil to bring out the worst in us, but the trials are used by the Holy Spirit to bring out the best in us. Temptation seems logical, but the trial seems very unreasonable. How many of you guys go through the trials and thinking that, wow, this is so logical, this is so good? If you do, you need a head exam. All believers face a similar common temptation to sin. And you might want to jot down 1 Corinthians 10:13. But not all believers experience the same trials of faith, because God's testing are tailor-made for each child of God and each experience is unique. If you are going through particular trials, you cannot compare them with somebody else's. Or somebody else cannot say, well, I went through that same thing. No, you didn't. Your situation, my situation are completely different. And you have to put yourself, yes, we can consult somebody who was going through the similar thing, but you cannot say, oh, I have an exact same situation. Another two important thing we must notice before we go any further is this. Here is. Number one, the area of Mount Moriah is where the temple was built centuries later. And it was the same place. It was the place where the Lord Jesus was sacrificed, outside of the city wall. See, the Mount Moriah is the same place where the King David later purchased. And when he did the dumb censors, he wanted to know how many fighting men I have. Remember the story at the end of the 2 Samuel? He did that and only to arouse the anger of God, because it came from his prideful heart. And when the God's avenging angel came, and David fell on his face and prayed to the Lord, please stop. And the Lord told him, go up to this mount and put out the sacrifice. And he did. But to sacrifice and to make a sacrifice on that mount, he purchased the land. The landowner was willing to give it to him. But King David said this, listen, I would not take the land that it cost me nothing. Listen carefully. Sacrifice costs you something. Sacrifice is worship. That means your worship, not just singing here, your life should cost something. Your life of worshiping should cost something. Am I making sense to you? So David bought a land, and his son Solomon built a temple on that mount. Again, down the road, Herod built a temple there. So not only the tabernacle moved into the temple, Solomon's temple, and then Herod's temple there. And that's the same place where Jesus died. And you may say, well, he didn't die on the Temple Mount. Yes, he died outside of the city. Do you know the distance from the Temple Mount to the Golgotha is 437 yards? And you're wondering, how did you come up with it? Did you just come up with some numbers? No, I actually measured it on the map, Google Map. I was there and when we went to the Israel trip. It was literally, you can see it. Second thing we should know is the burnt offering was a sign of a complete surrender. The atonement, it is an atonement of an intentional sin in general, an expression of devotion, commitment, and complete surrender to God. Burnt offering, they do not do anything other than completely burn the whole thing, whole sacrifice. They're not gonna have a wow, okay, we can have a barbecue ribeye after this. No, you ain't gonna get anything. Just complete burned ashes, nothing but ashes. That is a vivid picture of the complete dedication of Jesus Christ, total consecration of his life. You can see more in detail in Leviticus chapter 1. God told them to bring the animal without any defect. Again, it represents Jesus who was without sin. It means that he is telling us to bring our best to him as our offering and sacrifice. When many Christians don't want to give, want something or have a leftover, they think that it's okay to bring it to the church and give it to God. He will get my leftover. He will get something I don't want anymore. If you think that, if that's your mentality, shame on you. I know what the Gomopala says, right? Shame, shame. That's a wrong attitude. We should give the best of what we have to our God. We should bring our best to our God, and if we bring the leftover to God, and that should not be called a sacrifice or offering. It's nothing more than emptying the spiritual pantry. Go down to verse 3, please. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. Verse 4. Then on the third day, I want you to put number 1 on the third day, please. If you mark the Bible, I want you to do that. And you may say, well, I don't want to mark my pretty Bible. Your Bible should be the one working Bible. It's okay to mark it. Third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place far off. And Abraham said to his young man, stay here with the donkey, the lad, and I will go yonder. And put number 2 in front of worship, please. And put number 3 in front of, we will come back to you. And I want you to circle the pronoun, we will come back to you. There is not a slightest hint of hesitation on Abraham's part. Abraham is trusting God even when he does not understand. Some of us would say, I'm not going to obey or believe God until I understand it all. If we say that we are placing ourselves equal with God, because there we'll never be able to understand God's infinite wisdom and plan. He is unfathomable, he is unsearchable, he is inscrutable. You with me? We have, at the maximum, 3-digit IQ. A lot of us are acting like a 2-digit IQ, right? But with a 3-digit IQ, intelligence, trying to comprehend infinite wisdom that God has, is beyond comparison. Abraham is trusting when he does not feel like it. And there's not a description in this text about how Abraham felt. Not because he didn't feel, but because he was working by faith, not by feeling. I know there's a song you guys used to sing. The hippies was in that mood. Feeling, nothing but a feeling, all that stupid song. Let me put it this way. Your feeling, my feeling, put us into a lot of trouble. Right? But if we have a will to follow God, feeling will follow the will. But if we follow the feeling, our will, if we our will follow the feeling, we get into trouble. Nothing but trouble. So don't trust your feeling. Here we start to see the incredible and fascinating similarity between the sacrifice and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. First thing I ask you to put the number, the third day. In Abraham's mind, Isaac was as good as dead when he left home as they head to the Mount Moriah on their three-day journey. When Isaac returned home with his father Abraham, it was like having a dead son coming back to life. Our Lord Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead on the third day, as you know, because he won victory over our sin and death. Am I making sense? Second thing I ask you to note is the word worship. This is the first use of the word worship in reference to God in the Bible. The Hebrew word is shakar, simply means to bow down. While the Abraham and Isaac did not go to Mount Moriah to have a time of joyful praise, they did bow down to the Lord. Please note that Abraham used the word worship rather than sacrifice. He understood that the sacrifice is a part of worship, as I mentioned before. Third thing I ask you to notice is that we will come back to you. Does this mean Abraham somehow he got the hint from God that this is nothing more than God would not really require of his son's life? No, not at all. Instead, by faith in God, with the faith in God, if he killed Isaac, God would raise him from the dead. Because God had promised Isaac would carry on the line of blessing and the covenant. How can he be dead when God's going to bring the more descendant out of him? Right? Go down to verse 6, please. So Abraham put number 4 in front of the wood of a burnt offering, and laid on Isaac his son. I know some of you guys think, oh, I know where he's going. Good. Number 5, he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, put number 6 there. God will provide for himself the lamb for burnt offering. So two of them went together. Then they came to the place which God had told them. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. Put number 7 before he bound Isaac. He bound Isaac, his son, and then laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. You know, many people, there is even pictures. Have you ever seen the picture of Abraham walking with a little kid about a year tall, hand in hand? Have you seen that? Whoever the artist is should be in front of a firing squad, because that's a complete heresy. Why do I come up with the word that that's a heresy? Because for this person, Isaac, to carry a firewood, I even saw the picture of the Isaac carrying about wood about Yemaj. Have you ever tried to cook outside with the wood? I've done that before when I was in the military. And then when I was younger, at the time I thought the camping was okay. Not anymore. If the hotel does not have a Wi-Fi connection, that is a camping. Isaac had to carry the bundle of firewood. For him to carry that much weight on his shoulder, he had to be much older. I know some Bible teachers and theologians said, well, he was a 33. How do you know? You're stretching. I don't see anywhere. All right. So he put it on his wood on his shoulder. Yes, the wood was to burn him to sacrifice. Like Jesus would carry his wooden cross on his shoulder to be hung on it. Make sense? I should put the number 5 in front of fire and knife in the father's hand. In the meanwhile, Abraham was carrying fire and knife that would slay the Isaac's life in his hand. They are the instrument of the judgment and execution. We can see this as God the Father carrying out his wrath as a judgment on Jesus for the sins of mankind. Remember in the gospel it says all of our sins are poured upon his shoulder. I should put the number 6 in front of God provided himself for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. I love what it says in this verse. God will provide for himself the lamb for his burnt offering. No man would come up with the right sacrifice to cleanse the offense of mankind. Because we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Amen? But the only one who could do this was the God-man, the mediator, Jesus Christ. This phrase is very important to see that Abraham was speaking prophetically. So where was this lamb? That question has been asked by all the faithful people. Moses asked, Isaiah asked, and Isaac asked, and Daniel asked. Nobody could answer until John chapter 1, verse 29. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who take away the sins of the world." Seventh point that I should underline and put the number. He bound Isaac. All right, so far we have a great display of the faith of Abraham. But what about Isaac? If he was strong enough to carry the wood, firewood on his shoulder, that means he was strong enough to fight against the 100-year-old daddy, right? You know, my idea of a nice barbecue is great. Okay, have a steak on the grill, not me on the grill. He knew. Isaac knew when his daddy bound him. And he trusts his daddy. I wouldn't be surprised if he was willing to get on the fire altar on top of the wood. It was Isaac trusted his God and his father's God enough to be bound willingly. And I wouldn't be surprised if he helped his elderly father by getting himself upon the altar. Before the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, he said, "Not my will, but your will be done." Then he went to the cross to fulfill the will of God, God the Father, willingly. By the way, if you've been following Kenneth Copeland, please don't. Kenneth Copeland is nothing but the heretic. And you may say, well, it's not nice of you to say that kind of thing to the brother. When a person is saying that kind of heresy, he's not my brother. Because Kenneth Copeland said very clearly, don't ask God for his perfect will. Tell him what you want. Hello? Seriously? Are you telling me that you know more than God? That's why he's a heretic. Verse 11. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." If it was Sarah, angel of the Lord would call her once. Because it's a man, he doesn't listen. He had to call him twice. "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do you not lay your hands on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know," would you underline the word "know," "that you fear God, and since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Verse 13. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked at there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horn. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide." Underline that as well, please. The Lord will provide. Just it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Abraham was completely obedient to plunge his knife into his son Isaac's throat. Abraham did not think that it was a play acting. His knife was real. His arm was outstretched up in the air. He was coming down, and God called him. When God finds his followers willingly to make a sacrifice he demands, he often does not require of it. This is how we can be a martyr without even ever dying for Jesus. We need to live the life of a martyr right now. I want you to go to our memory verse, Luke chapter 9, verse 23, please. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. I want you to memorize this verse, please. Then he said to them all, if anyone, you there yet? This is too important for me to run ahead. You all there? Okay. If anyone desire to come after me, that means if you want to be a Christian, let him what? Deny who? Deny yourself. What? Denying what? Your own fleshly desire. Write it down there. My own fleshly desire, please. Take up his cross daily. What does it mean? Die. Spiritually die. So whatever I want is no longer important. What God wants comes before me and follow me. If you're a Christian, you want to do whatever you want to do. How can you call yourself Christian? Who is your master? Who is your Lord? If you do whatever you want to choose to do, yourself and myself. If we choose to do what he wants, then that is a worship, that is a sacrifice. It costs you something. Am I making sense to you? Remember, worship requires sacrifice. Sacrifice costs you something. I'm sure that Abraham was so glad to hear this command from heaven. By the way, I asked you to underline the word no. The word no in English in this verse does not justify the omniscient capability of God. The proper translation according to its Hebrew word is its yada, should be acknowledged. The word no is, there's a connotation that it's all like barely finding out. Am I making sense? If I say, oh, I know your name now, that means I just found out your name. But acknowledging is, I knew, but I'm acknowledging it. The Lord will provide is a famous name of the Lord, Jehovah Jireh. Indeed, God provides what we need according to his riches and glory. Thank God. Amen. Please note that what it says at the end of this verse, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. What an incredible statement that is. Abraham prophesied upcoming the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And this is the place where God has received the sacrifice of animal. Remember I told you that is the place where the Solomon's temple was built. And that's the place where the temple of the Herod was built. That's the place where a human priest killed an animal as a sacrifice. And ultimately, God's atoning sacrifice was given there. However, we find a few differences between the sacrifice of Isaac and the crucifixion of Jesus. Number one, Isaac felt neither knife nor the fire physically, but Jesus felt both in God's wrath against the sin of the mankind. Second point, Isaac's loving father was right there, but Jesus was forsaken by his father when he became sin for us. And it is no wonder why Jesus cried out, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" Verse 15, please. Then the angel of the Lord called Abraham for a second time out of heaven and saying, by myself I have sworn, say the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing, I will bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba. Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. Now it came to pass after these things, it was told Abraham, saying, indeed, Milcah also has borne children to your brother Nahor. Stop there, please. I'm not going to read the rest of the verse 21 through 24 because there's an interesting name that I cannot pronounce. So that's your entertainment for the Sunday afternoon. I have two applications. Number one, our faith is not really tested until God asks us to bear what seems unbearable, do what seems unreasonable, and expect what seems impossible. We must obey Him. Would you say with me? We must obey Him. Say it like you mean it. We must obey Him. Second application. If we are told to trust the promise maker, our God, no matter what, and we should do so because He is the promise keeper. Amen? Let's stand up and pray.